Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're joined in studio by author Jenny Ireland. Her new book, The Boy Next Door, is her second book. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hello, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. You're down from Belfast.
I am, yeah. Came down yesterday.
Right. So this is a young adult novel. Now, it's not meant for me, but I'm really enjoying it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the writing's really good. And it transported me right back to my teenage years when, you know, the relationship was just all important. It was all consuming.
That's it. That's what I absolutely love about YA fiction. It just brings you back to those emotions, which are like one day you're top of the world, next minute you're rock bottom, and it's just that up and down the whole way through.
Yeah. So Molly and Finbar are next door neighbours, but they, I suppose, they grow out of each other. Well, Molly grows out of Finbar.
Yeah. They were childhood best friends and sort of grew apart when they were nine, when Finbar's mum dies. And then sort of at the start of the book, they couldn't be more different as teenagers. And then Molly ends up suffering a acquired brain injury, and her dad asks Finbar to go and visit her to try and help, you know, help her with her memory. And then they sort of rebuild their relationship from there on out.
Your depiction of Molly at the beginning of the book, because she was the, you know, the most popular girl in school, going out with the rugby captain, brilliantly written. Because we imagine that from American depictions of it, but it read brilliantly, set in Belfast. But I always knew it wasn't going to come to anything. I didn't like Connor. He was just too full of himself.
Oh, I love it.
Now, a lot of the stuff in the book is coloured by your own experience.
Yeah.
So you've had a rough time of it, haven't you?
I am a medical disaster. Yeah. Absolutely.
But they're connected in a way, aren't they, your disasters?
I don't honestly don't know.
No, right.
I mean, the arthritis came, I was diagnosed when I was 23, and, you know, ever since I've been on immunosuppressants and trying to get the right medication for that. And at the time, I was 2019 when I had the brain injury, I got a virus and I was on immunosuppressants at the time. So maybe, you know, that's what made it worse. I don't know, might not be connected.
Okay, so encephalitis, which mm-hmm. is very serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. you're giggling now.
Oh, it just still doesn't feel real to me that it was.
Right.
It happened. It was just, yeah.
Why did you, because you had two young children at the time, had you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What ages were they?
They were 4 and 5 when it happened.
Right.
So, yeah, one day I was leaving them to school and, you know, the next I was just in hospital and they couldn't visit because it was surgery and it was ICU and HDU and they couldn't, you know, it was a good few weeks before they could even come in to the hospital.
So obviously your experience has allowed you to write very effectively on Molly's experience.
Yeah.
She goes through the same thing. So encephalitis is swelling of the brain.
Yeah.
And then the doctors have to release the pressure. Isn't that it?
Yeah, I know it all doesn't always result in surgery, but mine, they needed to put a drain in and then they took it out, I think, and it, you know, it started happening all over again. So they put a shunt in. So I have a contraption in my head now that sort of drains fluid from my brain to my abdomen and it just stays there forever.
Like a pipe?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's plastic. So
You're looking at me in disbelief. I'm looking at you in disbelief. You have it. I don't have it. So it goes down the back of you. Like, is it right? It goes down.
Yeah, right down here and then right down, yeah.
So you're pointing down by your ear, down your neck.
Yep.
So not down your back.
No, down the front. Yeah,
down the front.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you this. Sorry, Jenny, but are you constantly aware of it?
No, I forget about it most of the time. Occasionally, I'll get, you know, a headache around that bit, and that will remind me. And I've kind of got a bit of a dent in my head where the first drain went in, and occasionally the shunt will. It'll hurt my stomach,
yeah.
And because of where it is, I think it can touch the diaphragm, which gives me this nerve pain in my shoulder, which I don't understand, but very occasionally it's not that often.
And it's there forever?
There forever.
And it's working all the time, unknowns to you?
I don't think it does anything.
Okay,
now.
Right, okay.
I just don't think they're going to go digging around to get it out.
Oh, is that it?
I think so.
Right. Would you not ask?
I know, you'd think so. I'm going to now.
Yeah. So Molly's there and she has everything. The captain of the rugby team, most popular girl in school. And then she has this and she's hospitalised. Major surgery on her head, shaved head, steroids, which bloats her, all of that thing. And she has to, I suppose, look at herself differently. In fact, she doesn't look at herself because she bans mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I think during my recovery, it was like I really didn't want to sit there feeling sorry for myself. So I was thinking, what situation would be worse here? Is it like who, what kind of person? And I was a teenage girl when, you know, you're full of hormones, you're full of just anxiety and insecurity, and she's incredibly beautiful. And I was thinking that would be so hard to come back from. And that really inspired Molly.
Yeah. So she has to look at her life and herself differently now and maybe become less shadow than she was.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of my writing is about sort of self-acceptance and sort of just accepting yourself as you are and not like buying into all those awful just body image.
Yeah. But what age are your children now?
11, well, almost 11 and 9.
Yeah. So Lila is almost 11.
Yeah.
So she's coming into those pubescent years.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to get her to read all your books or has she read this already?
She has not read it already. She is a reluctant reader. Right. So I would love her to read it, but maybe she will in a couple of years.
Because you're obviously, you're a reader, you're a writer. You would love Lila to be a reader.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about changing a reluctant reader into an avid reader?
I don't think you can. I think it's more about finding books that, you know, speak to them. And I, to be honest, I was the same as a kid. It was my brother, he was a reader, would read anything. And I didn't read anything unless I sort of related to it. And she, I think, is exactly the same. We found a series, the Lottie Brooks series, that she absolutely adored. And she really, I think, related to it. So that worked for her. And it's just finding the right books for her. She won't just read anything. It's just finding something she can relate to.
So you're at pains to point out that this isn't a book about disabilities. That they're just part of the people's stories. They're not. They don't identify them.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I was sort of big on how disabilities and chronic illnesses should be just in more books and on the screen more, because you don't see that many representations of them. And the amount of people that have chronic illnesses and disabilities is wild. So everybody must know someone or have one. You know, it's, yeah.
So, yeah, so Molly has one. And she also has vitiligo.
Vitiligo, yeah.
Vitiligo. And your daughter, Lila, has vitiligo.
She does, yeah.
So just explain to people what that is. It's
it's just like a loss of pigment in parts of the skin. And in Molly's case, she has it on her face. So it was quite obvious. And then when she gets to teenage years, she's quite vain and self-conscious, and she covers it up. So by the end of the book, you know, she is more accepting of it and is just showing everybody.
It's a huge market now, isn't it? The young adult market, particularly with TikTok.
Yep.
So these Heartstopper books, did they come to prominence because of TikTok?
I don't think so.
No,
they were graphic novels.
Yeah.
And they got incredibly popular, and then they made the Netflix show as well.
Yes.
And that was brilliant. And I'd watch that with Lila as well. She loves it. And she read the graphic novels as well. She adores those.
And what a great way for parents to have the chats.
Absolutely. But like, I find with Heartstopper, I didn't have to have any sort of chat. The only thing that Lila said to me when we were watching Heartstopper was, he's got my school bag or the same school bag as me. And that was just that.
It wasn't that he's gay or not gay
or whatever. Not at all. No. It was just like, you know, he's got my school bag. That was the sort of stuff she was pointing out, because I think in our house anyway, it's just life. You know, it's just people.
I think it's brilliant because we are heading into a lot more tolerant world. Like, we voted in same-sex marriage, but this generation who are living it and seeing it, they're going to be the real change, I think.
Oh, 100%. And for them, it's just going to be, you know, normal life. It's not going to be a thing. And I honestly can't wait until books are, it's not a thing in books. It's not a disability book. It's not a book with a gay character. It's just a book and it's about whatever. But yeah, it's just...
And you do that brilliantly because it, sometimes it can be quite clunky because you can see that's that character's there just for inclusivity or diversity or whatever. But yours is just, it's all there and that's, they're fine.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. The Boy Next Door, Jenny Ireland, your second book. And what's the deal? How many more are there?
Hopefully a couple of more anyway.
Right. Well, great to see you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Jenny. Thank you so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.